Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Had a good weekend. Had a good Father's Day weekend. I know we did, and good to be back here on a Monday where the sun is shining. It is hot. Summer officially started yesterday, so it's just the second day of summer, and we're already hitting 90 degrees today. Look, we had a couple of weeks, one where we had cooler temperatures, and then we had rain, and rain, and rain. But yes, it is summertime now, so be ready for that for the next few months. I would say, usually you're hoping by Halloween that things are cooling off a little bit. But yeah, it's a hot one. Now, I will say this. Doesn't look like it rained much, if any at all, over here on this side of town. Down on the south side there across the interstate, it poured. About 2:30, and it rained for 30, 45 minutes, and rained a good bit. We got probably an inch of rain there. So, again, we've been needing the rain. We've gotten plenty of it, though. So now it's just time watching everything grow, watching the grass will grow like crazy because temperatures are warm at night. So and I had a lot of fun today. I decided to go ahead and finish getting getting all the yard cleaned up. We're gonna head to the beach this weekend and take a few days off. So there will be no drive next week. So just keep that in mind. Everything's fine. Just getting a little vacation next week. So decided to go ahead and cut. And I was telling Brian this a little while ago, Drew. I have a mower that I have had. Bought it when Sears, just before Sears closed there at the mall. So that's been a while. That has been a while. And this was it's a Craftsman mower that still today, as always, first pull, don't have to pull hard, first pull, it starts. Motor has been unbelievable. Now, there have been some other things, but I mean that happens when you put a lot of hours on a mower. I mean, I've had the self-propel go out. I've had to figure out why the wheels weren't turning even when the transmission was turning in the self-propel. Thank goodness for YouTube. I have learned. I feel like I've rebuilt, except for the motor, this lawnmower over the years, and it has been fabulous. I mean, and it is heavy duty. This mower was listed at either $459 or $499 back when Sears was closing. Yeah. So that tells you it was, as far as a walk behind, it's self-propelled. But, I mean, there's hardly any plastic on it. I mean, it's metal. So the thing is, I learned the last time when the self-propel went out, it is a pain to push that thing. If it's not flat, it's going to wear you out trying to push this thing. So today, as I'm cutting the side, I realized one of the wheels wasn't spinning, and it's like, crap. I can do something about that. It's one of a couple of things, but I've fixed that before. Then I got to the sloped side of my yard where I need to be able to go uphill, and that's where you need to self-propel. I mean, when you got to push something heavy like that up a pretty good slant, and as soon as I squeezed the handle to try to do the self-propel, it just snapped.
Uh-oh.
And like, okay, great. So I finished that part of the yard trying to push that thing that weighs a ton. So if anybody, I've done all this, and it's doable. I mean, if it needs to be, I don't think it's the transmission. I think it's just in the controls and the cable. It shouldn't be a big deal. But if anybody's interested in a really nice heavy duty, I've kept it in really good shape. You can let us know, and I'd be glad to let somebody have it if they want to tinker with it and just replace the nice. The self-propelled controls and the cable. I mean, it's pretty simple to do, but I mean, it's time for me to move. I had another mower that I'd bought last time, but I didn't think I'd be able to fix it, and it worked great today. So I had to put it together and get it to run, and that was fun. About 12:30 today, it was a little hot, but anyway. So not like I've got a big prize for you or anything, but I mean, if somebody wants a mower that starts, I mean, the first time you pull it,
yeah.
And if you replace, I think if you replace the cable and the controls, it's going to be self-propelled for you. You're welcome to it. All right. Let's get down to maybe a little sports. There's not a ton today. Last day of the 25-26 college season, as the College World right. Series will wrap up tonight between Oklahoma and North Carolina. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com is in, as he will be and has been every Monday. And Drew is at the controls. But, yeah, Brian, this is pretty much it. For college athletics for the 25-26 year.
It is, and I'm excited to see a game tonight, between Oklahoma, a team that finished 11th in the SEC, but has been just tearing it up with their bats, and their pitching too, but really their bats have just come alive.
Since the SEC tournament, they get bumped by LSU in the SEC tournament.
They lost, I think it was their last three SEC series, and then one and done in the tournament mm-hmm. in the first round, and then they just explode. They beat
in
Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Out of the loser's bracket to beat Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech, the number two national seed. They went to Kansas and outscored them, I think it was 21-3, the number 15 national seed, and they have been, did they knock Georgia out, or was that the other side? No, they did knock Georgia out, yeah.
So, yes.
which to me was the team that was going mm-hmm. to win it, right? They had all the momentum, all the numbers. They had beaten everybody, won the SEC and SEC tournament. But
well, they knocked Georgia and Texas out.
Yeah. So, and that to me, that just tells, and I did write about this in my musings, but that's just a sign of how good the SEC is and how well it prepares you for the postseason. Not every team is hot at the right time, but if you play in the SEC and you can get hot in the right time, you can make a run and you're perfectly capable
right.
of winning the national championship. I think you can go 1 through 11 or 1 through 12 in the SEC, and if one of those teams got hot at the right time, they could be playing tonight like Oklahoma is.
Oklahoma looking to win the seventh straight mm-hmm. national championship by an SEC team.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
And this would be five or six different schools. It's not like yep. one school has just won three or four of these national titles.
You got Tennessee, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, LSU.
Mississippi State.
Ooh, I'm missing one.
Florida?
Probably Florida. Yeah, probably Florida.
I think
Oklahoma will be, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Unless there's somebody else. Or Texas was Texas, but they weren't SEC,
no,
were they?
No, they weren't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that you're right. That's how dominant the SEC has been. Oklahoma won big on Saturday, and then North Carolina turned around
yeah.
and won yesterday, staving off elimination. So it should be a good one tonight, right after the show.
That's right.
Is the College World Series finale. So, I mean, we can talk a little bit about that, but, I mean, there are other things Auburn sports-related.
Yes.
I mean, we can talk about Jackson Koivin's performance in the U.S. Open, but then football recruiting. Man, it continues. Auburn has just blown past, I think, what everybody thought Auburn would probably take.
Yeah.
Upper teens, maybe 20
yeah.
High school commits. They've got 22 commitments right now, although one of those probably
is,
will be
right.
which flipping I think, back.
Which is part of this process.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen to everybody. I look back, and I wrote about this too. I wrote about you go back to A-Day game. Auburn got the tight end.
Yeah, they had one going into
right.
A-Day.
Then they had two. They were ranked 58th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably sure if I came on the week before or the week after that, there were probably some concerns about recruiting.
Oh, yes.
But now, here they are 20 commitments later and rolling along, maybe the hottest team in the country or one of the hottest teams in the country recruiting-wise, and headed toward, I think, a comfortable top 15 to top 10 class. And I think that's all you need. in this era of college football?
Well, I think, you know, that's all Auburn has needed in their best years is to have classes like that that are competitive with the other SEC schools. And this is, I think it's very impressive considering there's no proof of concept. I mean, Auburn hasn't played a game under Alex Golish.
I agree. I think they've done – I think it's clear to me that they have really worked their tails off. This to me is showing me that they have put in a lot of effort on building relationships, getting the kids in for – practices, for A-Day, for Big Cat, for official visits, and this is the result of that hard work, right? You're seeing a really, really good class and a nice mix of players, some highly rated, some that are going to come in and impact this team right away, and others that will probably need a couple of years, but you can see that potential to be really good players in the future, and I think that's the mix you need in today's college football. I don't think you can go out and do what Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State did for so many years.
I don't think they can do it.
Right. They can't afford it.
Right.
It's too expensive.
Because you've got to try to keep your best players as well as bring in new players.
Too expensive, and those players don't stick around to be second team, five stars who are second team for 2 years and then get to start. That doesn't happen. It's very, very rare that happens anymore.
Right.
They move on, they go somewhere else, and all that money you invested in them, all that coaching and development you gave them. Now another team take advantage of it. So you don't want that to happen. You want to hold on those players as long as possible. So you don't want to overextend yourself when it comes to signing elite, top-tier, five-star, top 100-type talent.
Now, it doesn't mean you avoid those guys by any means.
Just got to be smart about it.
Right. The other thing is I'm really impressed. It seems like each weekend, and now official visits are done.
Yeah.
Each weekend – as soon as that weekend is over, there seem to be players wanting to jump in the boat.
Yeah, I got two more commitments this weekend. Moni Williams is the running back. He's around 5'10", 5'11". He's over 200 pounds, which is something that we're seeing a lot of when it comes to Alex Golish and his recruiting. And as you mentioned, I think part of the reason they took him is because, A, he's a really good back, and B,
Kingston Miles.
Kingston Miles, the running back. I think he's the one from St. Louis.
He is.
And I think Bryson Cook is from
Johnson Cook.
Yeah, uh-huh. Myson Johnson is from East St. Louis. But anyway, Kingston, we feel like
Missouri is really, really pushing to try to keep him home.
Yes, which is not surprisingly. Yeah. It's something to go to Missouri and take two elite tailbacks and, you know, get them to Auburn. So you kind of expected that they were going to
– right.
hone in on at least one of them and make a big push there. So in anticipation of that, I think Auburn has taken a third running back in Moni Williams, and I think I think this guy, if you look at him, not a guy who has to play as a true freshman, but a guy you see tons of potential in. Not a 4.3 track guy, but certainly a guy that runs with power, gets up to top speed pretty quick, and a guy that can play. Maybe not right away, but you could see him develop into a really, really talented back in the next couple of years. And then they also got another, what I would call a developmental guy, Preston Williams. And I've been to a lot of towns across the state of Alabama for various reasons. Never been to Skipperville.
I've heard of it, but I may have been through it and missed it because, I'm from a little bitty town, too. And sometimes you could do that. If you don't look up, you might go through a town or an incorporation, whatever. But yeah, I've heard of it.
But he plays at GW
Long. GW
Long?
I was going to say that's the school in Skipperville.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's 6'2", 180. He is an athlete right now. He could play both sides. I think Auburn's recruiting him as a quote-unquote defensive athlete. You look at his size and you think, okay, is he a big corner? Is he a nickel? Or does he fill out and become a safety? We will see.
Yeah.
But I like what Cole Pinkston, kind of our analyst, he writes up a piece on all the commitments, and he compared him to Nehemiah Pritchett, which I really like that comp. Nehemiah was another guy that was not super highly recruited at the time.
No, he was sort of a late ad.
Yep, had the same size characteristics there and turned into a really, really talented defensive back that could play corner or nickel or even safety. Did he play some safety before he left?
He played a little.
Yeah, so I think Preston Williams could be in the same vein there. I think that's a great comp, and I think this is a really nice pickup, and I think it was what we just were talking about. You got to take these guys in your class. You cannot just take top 100 five-star type players. You know, it's just not going to work that way.
No, I mean, you're going to need some guys that are patient enough to stick around and, right. you know, get bigger, get stronger, and, you know, grow into SEC yeah. athletes. And this guy sounds like I love the size, the 6'2" frame
yes.
for a guy who's a defensive back. So that sounds like a good addition as well. And yeah. I mean, you look at the it's not just DJ Durkin, but I think the entire defensive staff. You've got a couple of other guys who have been SEC defensive coordinators.
Coleman Hutzler, you know, they went to Baltimore.
Tim Banks,
got, yeah. James Pace just a few days.
Yeah, that was right? just like Friday or something.
Yeah, a very talented edge rusher, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you're talking about a guy in the Baltimore area. DJ Durkin recruits that area really well. You add in Coleman Hutzler, who is as good as he is as a recruiter, as a coach, mm-hmm. with his experience at other SEC programs. Just a really elite hire, in my opinion, and that just has resulted in Auburn, I think, has two really good edge pieces committed so far in James.
Yeah,
Pace,
and that's yeah, two of their – well, I was going to say two of their last few, but, I mean, yeah. it's not two of the last five or six now because they've gotten so many.
That's crazy.
But, I mean, folks were wondering and concerned a little bit just a week or so ago is like, you know, is Auburn going to get any edge rushers? Yeah. They've added two now.
Yeah, and both of them are from up there. Breon Jackson is from Annapolis, Maryland. I don't mm-hmm. know how close that is to Baltimore, but I think it's fairly close. Yeah. I imagine Maryland's not that big of a state, right?
Right.
So, you can just see them doing terrific work. What I like about this class, I like that they're getting big running backs. I like that four of the commitments
are offensive linemen. They're getting a class, too. I mean, it's not, five receivers and right. no linemen, that type right. thing.
Yep, they got a couple of defensive linemen. They got a couple edge guys. They got a couple of linebackers. They got a quarterback.
Oh, they've got a few DBs.
Do they have one or two receivers? I'm trying to remember.
Working on one.
Oh, yeah, that kid's going to announce here tomorrow, right?
I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
The Prattville yes. receiver?
Yes, so we will see on that one, too. So,
man,
I'm
they
impressed.
Are working. I mean, that is the obvious thing. I told mm-hmm. Doug Amos today, I mean, anybody doubted, I mean, Alex Golish, you look at his background, his track record, and he's somebody that understands hard work, and he has, I mean, not they haven't just hit the ground running, they've hit the ground sprinting.
Yeah, they really have. And, you know, I've covered a lot of coaching transitions, and a lot of times this first class is kind of tough because
right.
you're trying to build
You've got to build relationships, establish those type things. People have to get to know you. And,
right.
And look, he may have had relationships with a few of these guys, but most of these are people that probably, you know, weren't familiar with Alex Golish at all.
Yeah, but I do think this era has helped in that matter because if you're an Alex Golish, you're making relationships even with the kids you don't think you can get right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because
oh, yeah,
you know
yeah,
if you're
right.
a South Florida and that kid – goes to Georgia or Alabama
school, right.
and doesn't play for a few years, there's a chance you get him in the portal if you had that relationship already. So I do think that may have helped in some cases. I don't know any specific cases, but I do think this era of college football is helping guys like Alex who really work their tails off and really just get out there and, cross all the T's, dot all the I's, and you know, reach out and make as many connections as possible.
All right, we're just underway. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Plenty of time for you to join us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390. Love for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio on a nice-looking hot Monday afternoon. Mentioned Jackson Koivun in the U.S. Open, and an impressive way to wrap things up. He shoots a 2 under par 68 on the final round to finish in the top 25.
Yep. Did he finish birdie birdie or birdie birdie birdie? Remember? I know there's a couple birdies.
No, there were at least two.
Yeah. Yeah. Very impressive. His last tournament as an amateur, and now. Now it can start bringing in that big money.
Start getting those checks.
Yep.
And he will.
It's great to have another golfer from Auburn now you can follow professionally, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, and he's one of the best amateurs.
Yeah.
Period.
Right.
He's won the equivalent of the golf Heisman twice. three SEC championships. I mean, he has been an All-American three times. I mean, and he goes out and again, he's made the cut. He's already been in 10 professional tournaments, and he's made the cut in 8 of them.
That's great. This is a great start, and he's got that experience behind him now. He's got a nice sponsorship deal already, right?
Yeah.
So he'll be looking good out there on the course. I'm really excited for him, and it's good to have somebody to really follow and you know, root for on the professional level on golf again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or more so, not necessarily again, but
right,
just another one.
Right, right. So, yeah, Wyndham Clark wins it because of Thursday. I mean, he was 6 under on was it? Yeah, I think he shot a 64 on Thursday.
That's incredible at the US Open.
He won the tournament in the opening round because yeah. I mean he had a huge lead that he was able to and able to hang on and win. So but Jackson, yeah, I think Jackson's first pro tournament's in a couple of weeks. First tournament that he will be able to get the money. And I've got a feeling that it won't take him long to accumulate a pretty yeah. pretty good amount.
Yeah.
The World Cup continuing, and boy, we got a preview here, didn't we? I mean, we saw Messi come in and score within a minute, and he hasn't slowed down. Five goals in 2 games.
Yeah, you got 2 more today.
Yes.
3 in the first one. He is on a tear.
And he is now the all-time leading goal scorer in World Cup history.
Yeah, and Portugal can try every little trick they can, but Ronaldo is not scoring as many goals as Messi is going to score. I think that competition is over now, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah,
but,
I think you're right.
Yeah, Messi looks incredible. It's been fun. You got a couple more games today and tonight, and, of course, you got the baseball game, too. So plenty. If you enjoy sports, there's plenty to watch and plenty to tune into.
Yeah, something we didn't – I didn't realize this till the other day when we were talking about it, when the U.S. won its second straight match, that's the first time they had done that since 1930, the very first year they competed in the World Cup.
It's wild. It's wild how good they look. And they're not just winning. They look good. I mean, I've watched a good portion of this tournament so far, and they are one of the best-looking teams so far. And you know, we'll see what it looks like when they get to knockout rounds. You know, you could run into the wrong team at the wrong time, but I think I don't think any team wants to play the USA right away because they're gonna have a lot of confidence,
right?
I think they're gonna be in really good shape team-wise once they get to that knockout round too.
Yeah, and obviously playing at home. Yep. I mean, wherever. I mean, it's in the States, so. Yeah, so that'll be good. That reminds me, you said you got a cool Father's Day gift.
I did. My family got together and got me a pair of tickets to see Liverpool play, which is my team. They're playing in Nashville here in, I think, another month, July 25th. And so I'll be up there to watch them play. It's a, I guess, a friendly or an exhibition game. They're playing Sunderland, which is another team from England. I think Sunderland's in the Premier League too. So that'll be a lot of fun. It'll be my first time to see them in person, so I'm excited about it.
That is cool. Hey, that sort of gets to as impressive as everything was, and I think Auburn did a great job hosting the Argentina-Iceland match. You've got to feel like this is that's something that really opens the doors for any type of event that could be held in Jordan-Hare Stadium for Auburn to be right there at the top of any possible sites.
And we do have a new event coming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we do.
It's not in Jordan-Hare, though, which kind of surprised me a little
Thank
bit.
Goodness. Thank goodness it's August.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about the
this
dates.
This would be miserable outside.
Yeah, and plus, I'm sure they'll be concerned about the field.
Right.
Back to that
concert
in Jordan-Hare that late in August. Yeah.
That'd be a week before the open. Well, a couple of weeks, because the first game, obviously, is in Atlanta.
But she will be at Neville
Ella
Arena.
Ella Langley, that is right.
Auburn's own.
That's right. Who is as big a star as there is on the country music scene right now.
I'm not
now.
A country music fan, but even I hear her music everywhere, right? It just shows up and just an amazing artist. And
it's going to be, is it the 28th and 29th?
It is. 2 nights at Neville Arena, and I think
tickets go on sale Friday.
Right. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so that is a big deal there. So I mean, Auburn said, I mean, look, John Cohen and Brett Hobart had said, you know, they're looking at bringing in some entertainment, and they're doing it big.
That you have to find other ways to make money, and this is a great way for Auburn to do that athletics-wise. And, you know, I think we're going to see more at Jordan Hare. I think they're going to try to get more soccer friendlies there if they can.
Yeah, I mean, something like what's going on in Nashville. I mean, why couldn't they get something like that?
Right. Or, you know, why are you playing on artificial turf at the Georgia Dome, right, instead of playing on real grass at a stadium, you know, like Auburn, where you can put in, you know, close to 90,000 people? So, I think that's something that should be looked at, and I think that's something Auburn should take advantage of.
Oh, I think they definitely will. So, so that's really good. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. I tell you what we can do. We can toss this out to folks. What would you like to see? What do you think? What do you think would be something that would work? That Auburn could bring in at any of the. At Neville or at Jordan Hare.
Could you do I've never been to one in my life, but is there enough room in Jordan Hare to do one of those monster truck things?
Oh, yes.
Is that really?
Oh, okay. Yes. There definitely is.
Okay. That might be a hit
that
here.
That would be when you're planning on redoing the turf.
Yeah. That would have to be right after the A-Day game, right?
Yeah,
right.
I would think so.
Yeah, you want as much time as possible to get it.
I'll tell you what, the way the field looked there for soccer was just amazing. So I mean, I don't have any doubts that whatever they wanted to do, they can get the field ready. I mean, as long as they've got a month or more, they'd have the field ready in time for football.
And I don't watch motocross. I don't know anything about it, but I imagine it's probably do that in there. And maybe someone out there can tell me differently. I don't know, but it seems like you could do something like that. And, of course, outdoor concerts are perfect.
Sure.
Right? And once that North expansion is done here in a few years, I think that's going to give them even more opportunities to do different things.
I do appreciate outdoor concerts a little bit more when it's not dog days, when it's not, 1,000 degrees outside. Yes. But depending on who it is. All right, so, we'd love to hear from you. Give us, if you got any suggestions or thoughts as to what Auburn could bring in. Anything, though, that you want to talk about sports-wise, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, as we continue with the Monday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Drew at the controls and to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, we go. And Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, gentlemen. Happy Monday, Bill and Brian. A couple of things. First of all, I think we can, now that Messi's played on Jordan Hare, I mean, he's touched grass that, very few have touched other than the football players. So I think we can claim him now, right? So,
he's Auburn's. Base, yeah. Know? Yeah. Auburn's own. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as other things I'd love to see, I don't know if it gets cold enough, but an ice hockey game like they do in at Yankee Stadium, that'd be pretty sweet.
So that'd be cool. That would be cool.
It would really, the timing, you'd have to try to figure when is going to be the coldest time and it's going to stay cold for at least a couple of days or something. I wonder, because, how would you keep it? How would you keep it from melting?
Well, I think they freeze it from underneath, right?
I guess.
I don't know. Right. I have no idea. Somebody call and tell us about that technology.
I think that's how it is too. You got all those marble kids events. You could do all kinds of stuff in Neville for that type of stuff.
What is it?
They have those. I know I took my kid when he was 10. Those the marble where it's the Spider-Man. They had the Disney princesses on ice. It's not an ice show.
I actually wasn't familiar with that. Brian and I, our kids are grown.
Yeah, so. They're all grown up. Yep.
Well, mine's 15 now, but this was several years ago.
Well, we're getting close. I've got I've got grandkids.
That's right.
So it won't
know it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, see, you could take them to that. Bill, I keep, and I know I'm not going to solve the issue, but I keep going back to, how we can solve this player, getting them on the payroll or stuff like that. I was curious, how does the NCAA is a not-for-profit organization?
Right. Yes.
So how do they get paid for their people? Is that paid through the schools for like a membership?
I don't know if they're, I'm sure there's got to be some. I mean, the NCAA basketball tournament covers, I would think, most every cost that the NCAA staff and has. That's their biggest source of income is March Madness.
Yeah, I know we're not going to solve the issue, but I'm just curious if you could make the NCAA incorporated and, you know, have them. I mean, I don't know how many. I mean, you're looking at a huge undertaking.
Oh, it sure would.
I'm sure.
Hundreds and hundreds of schools.
But have them pay the players, you know what I mean? So they become basically NCAA employees that the schools give money to for that. I mean, they would be a huge corporation, but I got to think there's – I mean, you look at corporations like Royal Caribbean stuff that have hundreds of ships and hundreds of thousands of employees. Can't imagine it'd be the biggest, but I don't know. Maybe it would be.
It's probably I would just think that it's more of an undertaking than the NCAA would really like to get involved with. I can see where that could be doable if they did. They'd have to expand their staff and probably create quite a few more sites that the NCAA would have home bases, I would think, to be able to do something like that.
But it would just clean it up.
You're right.
The other things we've talked about, again, is, you know, having a commission on football. But to me, you have the same issue you have with the NCAA. I mean, unless you start funneling these players through some type of organization where there are rules, I don't see how any way you can enforce any of this stuff.
Right. And, you know, right now that would be an issue if you wanted to collectively bargain. You would have to either do it with a conference or with something they came up with, like a new entity they produced that somehow could cover, you know, certain schools or certain.
Yeah, like Brian was saying, if the NCAA just said, all right, we're going to handle that.
I don't know if NCAA wants to do that necessarily. Maybe it would work, but, you know, they've also got to cover probably players that are non-revenue sports and maybe aren't getting paid or not. I don't know how it would work. I think there's a lot of different options, but it would take a step, right? It's not – there's nothing built for it yet.
No, and there sure needs to be because, I mean, everything, it just continues to escalate. The costs just continue to escalate. Like Brian was saying a few minutes ago, you know, schools have to be very creative trying to come up with more revenue streams.
Yep.
Absolutely. And Brian, actually, you brought up a good point when you said the conference. You could almost take it to do the conference level,
right.
You know, make the SEC pay the players and the ACC and that type of thing.
Yep.
That would probably be even easier.
I think it would, but what you would need, then you would need some kind of agreement between conferences.
That may not be legal, though, right? That may be collusion.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not an expert on this stuff. But it might give the conferences advantage. The SEC and Big Ten might be able to collectively bargain better payments for their players, which would put them at an advantage over ACC and Big 12. I don't know that that's the best thing for college football. It probably isn't. But the SEC and Big Ten might think it's the best thing for them. And those are the entities who are really driving college sports right now. And they're not really thinking about what's best for college sports or thinking what's best for themselves.
Well, and then you've got the Protect College Sports Act, which is trying to prevent the SEC and Big Ten from doing just that.
They are. So it's just not a lot of people are working together at the moment. So a lot of competing interests.
All right. Thanks, guys, for taking the call. Talk
appreciate
to you later.
Yeah, appreciate it, Brian. And again, I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah.
Finding agreement amongst competitors.
But first of all, there's got to be a will. Everybody's got to give up on the getting Congress to do something, and they've got to accept that they're going to have to solve this issue themselves, which was the thing they should have done 6 or 7 years ago that they keep putting off. But once that happens, then I think they can find some solutions or take steps to get to a solution. Maybe the first step is not the final solution, but at least start taking those steps.
I just I thought about this the other day. I just wondered, what if, and it's hard to imagine getting bipartisan support for anything, but what if the Protect College Sports Act passed?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people, if you read about it, that think it would just make the issues worse.
I'm wondering about that myself.
Because some of the things will be challenged immediately in court. And I forget the ruling,
but if the bill's passed, I mean, how do you challenge?
Well, the Supreme Court can still overrule bills if they're not following the Constitution, right? And if you look at that, I forget which ruling it was. The Supreme Court went 9-0 on something against NCAA. So there is agreement between a very polarized Supreme Court about players being able to get paid for their services, right? So I don't know if that all the restrictions or all the rules they try to apply that new act is going to work. So, and it's also going to put, in some ways, the government in charge of college football,
right?
And that can lead to a lot of other big time issues. And I just don't, I just don't know if that's the best thing for the sport. But then again, whatever happens is going to happen. Yeah, then we're just going to deal with it and write about it and talk about it.
But as you said, I mean, you've got everybody, out for the best for themselves.
Yes.
Which, I mean, I understand.
Yes.
But you're gonna have to. I mean, unless you just think that you can completely break away and you're going to do that. There's been talk of that for years.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe that's the best solution. Just go ahead and break away, Big Ten, SEC, just break away from the rest. What would it be like, though? I've heard some crazy thoughts and talk that if they did that, the SEC and the Big Ten would say, all right, our players can't transfer to the other schools.
Right. Well,
they can only transfer to SEC or Big Ten schools.
That gets complicated, too, because the SEC and the Big Ten can't combine and do that. They can't collude to do that. They would have to basically dissolve.
They could create a new...
A group could create it, right?
Yes.
And they could hire Sankey or whoever to head it up if they wanted to, but they can't. That's why you'll say that Greg Sankey and Petitti will not say, hey, we're looking into Super League, because they know they'll get in trouble for colluding like that. So, but what would happen is, 30, 40, somewhere in that, teams from the SEC, Big Ten, and other schools would have to break away from their conferences, which would basically destroy those conferences, mm-hmm. and set up their own league. And if they did that, they could probably set it up in a way that they could collectively bargain with players, right? They could probably do it a little bit different.
Yeah, I would think.
Treat it more like a professional league. I think they could probably do something like that. I'm not an expert again. But I think I've seen, I'm not sure the exact date, but it's 2036 when most of the media rights are expiring, and you could really do something mm-hmm. like that potentially. But boy, you figure that a lot of the conferences are going to try to protect themselves from that too, especially the ones that are, have a predominant number of teams that would not be invited to the quote unquote Super League.
In the meantime, I just realized tomorrow is the day that the NCAA's 5-for-5 plan is supposed to be voted on.
Yeah, yeah.
The 23rd.
Yeah, that's I like that deal.
Oh, I do too.
I think they're concerned about being sued by players from a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever. Hey, why didn't I get my 5-for-5? Which may or may not take place, but they're getting sued for everything.
I think they've got a better chance here if they say anybody who still has eligibility left is going to be able to get 5.
And the 5-for-5, there's no waivers, there's no red shirts, nothing. You get five years to play, injured or not. So that takes away all those legal things, all those decisions, mm-hmm. all those,
it's not fair.
Right. Yeah. That removes all of this from the process.
As fair as you can be for everybody you've got those five.
And so that going back to recruiting, a guy like Preston Williams, he's a guy that could stick around for 4 or 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. So you need those players in your program to succeed. I feel like you look at Indiana, they had a bunch of seniors, a bunch of very experienced players, not necessarily a bunch of 4s and 5 stars.
They had a ton of JMU transfers.
Yep, James Madison transfers, yep. So that's the way they built it out. And I think in college football experience and, having a 23-year-old dude, even against your 18-year-old 5-star, you can win. And I feel like showed that.
So some interesting thoughts. We'd love thoughts from you. I mean, if you've got any suggestions as to possible solutions, and everybody's looking for them, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Here in the studio with Drew at the controls. No takers thus far for my mower.
Oh, well. Maybe it's just
I may have to just leave it out there at the road. But, I mean, I hate to do it for one that just cranks so easy.
Right.
I mean, it runs great. It cuts great. It just it's heavy to push with the self-propelled not working. I'm telling you, it's not a terrible, terrible fix. I've done it. I'm tired of ordering. I know. Hey, I can tell you what parts you need to order and do it, and it's not that much trouble. But the other one worked fine, so I've decided I'll give it a shot. We mentioned tonight Oklahoma, North Carolina for the College World Series. It's the deciding game here in the best of three. I just was wondering if there's any updates. Auburn baseball-wise, Auburn, let's see, I guess since the last time we talked, Auburn added another pitcher.
They did. They're up to five.
Yeah, so they got five additions now through the transfer portal?
They do, and I think the most important thing, and it may be complete by now, but last time I spoke to somebody over there, they had
wrapping up the
all the
current
guys
players
that you want to come back, getting that secured and done, and there is high confidence that all that is, if it's not done, it's almost done.
That's very impressive because Auburn has some players that you know there's been tremendous interest from all over.
Yes, absolutely. Very, very important, you feel like, for Auburn to do that first and then do the best job they can of keeping this 2026 signing class together.
Mm-hmm.
The draft is still a few weeks away.
Right, draft's in July. Yeah.
So that there's no definitive answers yet on this class. Of course, the Borthwick kid is probably projecting as a top 25 pick, and is probably going to get paid enough to move on.
Unless he's drafted by a team that he just absolutely doesn't want to play for, he's probably gone.
Yeah, and let's remember with the baseball draft. That team is most likely not going to draft you, or is not going to draft you at a high place unless they've already got a deal.
They know they've got a deal.
We're going to offer you this amount of money if we draft you here. Are you going to take it? Yes, I'm going to take it. Okay, we draft you. You know, that's basically the discussion.
Right.
I'm not saying that's that guy goes down, but that's basically how it works. So that'll be something to keep it a close eye on as we get closer to the draft. But I just think the biggest thing is. Getting those players together. What they've done in the portal is just filling in some pieces. They've got three pitchers so far. The latest was Jack Pozzolo from UC Davis. Started as a true freshman, I think 11 games for them last year. Lefty, I believe.
Lefty, yep. Who struck out better than a batter per inning, but control.
Yes,
but lefty, young lefties. That's that's very common.
Right, and if you looked at Auburn and what they were able to accomplish with Coach Teef last year, filling up the strike zone, it worked really well. So you feel like that's something that maybe they can get with Pozzolo, whether they need him as a starter next year or maybe as a lefty out of the bullpen, which is such an important piece to have. They also got another pitcher, Corey King from Arizona. Definitely a right-handed bullpen piece.
He's a guy that was at South Florida before he was at Arizona.
Right. And then they got Zach Stevens from South Alabama, another right-hander who's most likely a bullpen piece too. So just building out that bullpen, making sure you have enough arms to get through a full season. You never know which one of these guys could step up and become a really important piece in that bullpen, as several did this past year. And then hitting-wise,
added an outfielder with Bristol Carter leaving, and added a guy that can play second and third with most likely Chris Rimmert and Eric Guevara.
Right. John Beverly played at Georgia State last year. I think he batted right around 340, maybe it was higher than that, but stolen bases, leadoff, center field, that type of guy. If he can make that transition to SEC, could be a starter and leadoff hitter right away. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. We think Kay Ballou is coming back, so he can compete with John Beverly, and if Kay can put it all together, he can be a star and have a great season and be Auburn center fielder. So we'll just see how that works out. And then Ben Swales from Iowa, a guy who was injured last year, but when he came back in Big Ten play, hit
good numbers,
swung the bat really well, and can play third, second, short, probably mostly second or third, and definitely be a guy that can fit into that infield and maybe more of a power bat than people are expecting. You might get like a bargain signee. Well,
yeah, he's a guy that has seven homers and not a tremendous number of at-bats.
Right.
So yeah, there's a chance that. Music's playing. That means we're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. And also, that means we're approaching the hour where we're going to get Brian's Monday Musings.
All right.
So looking forward to that. That's always fun. I know that's something. Well, good. I hope so.
Yeah, you usually do anyway. Even
but I know that that's something that quite a few of the listeners are really look forward to is the little musical talk and stuff, the musical interludes and things that we have.
We'll have plenty to talk about.
Sounds good. In hour number two, coming up here on the Monday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well and had a nice weekend. If you weren't with us in hour number one, Bill, Brian Matthews here today with Drew at the controls. Hope everybody had a happy Father's Day. We had a good time yesterday. I mentioned I got Paul Simon tickets. Did I say that?
No, you don't. I think you mentioned it.
Oh, yeah. I have tickets to see Paul Simon. I've never seen Paul Simon, so looking forward to that. That'll be in Atlanta in just a few weeks. Brian got tickets to see Liverpool.
Yeah, how about that?
In Nashville.
Yes.
Yeah. So a good Father's Day. Hope you had one, or your dad did. Hope you had a good weekend. We'd love for you to join in here on the Monday Drive. Anything on your mind? Sports-wise, we talked, we bounced around, talked quite a few things there in the first hour. I mean, hit a good bit on the football recruiting, where Auburn just continues to add commits. Must have been at least four in the last week, but two over the weekend. Two over the weekend from the final visit of final weekend of official visits before the dead period began last night.
Yeah, they added Preston Williams, the defensive athlete from GW Long down in Skipperville, Alabama, a guy I think will have a chance to play cornerback, nickel, or safety and have some time to develop. I think he's just a typical find for Auburn. They've done a great job of mining athletic, defensive backs or sometimes receivers from that area of the state. I think that's down south, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Or not maybe Mobile South, but
I was thinking it's
below us.
Yeah, I was thinking it's further east. Yes.
Yeah. And I just think he has the potential to really develop into a really good player for Auburn in the future. And then they got another guy that's could be on the same path.
It's in Dale Williams. County. So yes, it is just south of us.
There you go. He is from Memphis, Tennessee. He is another physical running back, over 200 pounds. And, maybe not as polished as the other two running backs that got committed, but a guy that can certainly develop and be a terrific back for Auburn in the future.
He was committed to Virginia. Was it Virginia Tech?
I thought it was West Virginia, but I can't
remember. No, it was West Virginia. You're right.
But, yeah, so those were the two latest. And then you got the receiver from – trying to work, realize where he's from, but he will be – it was Prattville, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he'll be announcing
big
tomorrow.
Big kid.
Yes. Yeah, he's like –
close to 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah. So
I mean, you can tell that Alex Golish likes his receivers to have good size. You look at the guys. I mean, this I was impressed this spring just at the size of some of these some of the guys that Auburn's got, and they're looking to add more of that.
Cedric Simmons is his name.
Yeah, so, there we go.
There you go.
Well, I was thinking.
No, he's from Southside.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the one
announcing. Yeah, that's
Tuesday.
Right. Cedric Simmons is the guy that
he's an undersized guy.
Yeah, it's going to be Auburn or Alabama. Yeah, right. He's more a flanker type.
Yes. And then the Prattville kid.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. You're right. Yes, it's Cedric Simmons who's going to choose either Auburn or Alabama tomorrow.
Yes, he did grow up an Alabama fan, I believe. So, mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So, and Auburn has don't they already have a receiver commit?
They got the kid. I guess it's been a few weeks now. Was he from Tennessee?
I think.
I'm trying to remember his name. Brylan Odor. He's from Murfreesboro. Yeah. 6'2", 205. Another guy that's, like you said, big, fast, and has got some track ability. And they feel like, again, he could be a guy that could be here a little while and develop into a really big-time playmaker, take the top end off a defense type receiver there.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a pretty balanced class when I look at it, Brian. I mean, they've got a quarterback, they've got running backs, they've got looking to add a second receiver, and they would like to add another one as well. But four offensive linemen, some defensive interior guys, as well as two edges they've added recently. We've talked about corners and linebackers. Yeah. And Auburn's got young linebackers as well. But I mean, I like that it's a pretty, you're fielding a team is what it looks like there that you're bringing in.
Yes, they are doing a great job, I think, of kind of spreading it out and getting every position filled, and especially running back and offensive line, some positions that maybe Auburn hasn't recruited as well as they needed to. I went back and looked, and I think last year in the NFL, Auburn had two running backs and one offensive lineman that they had recruited out of high school. That's not many for a team like Auburn, an SEC team. You're absolutely right. So that tells you a little bit about it. And the Prattville receiver is Deshaun Hall. He is 6'4", 190, so he's a much bigger player. I'm trying to think. I think he has a date set in July. I'll see if I can find that here in a minute.
He's got – and he has schools all over the country.
Yep.
After him.
Yes.
Auburn's got a kicker as well. So, I mean
– Yes, they did.
And then they added a tight end the other day. That's something that you see Alex Golish is really, really keen on tight ends. They've got a very impressive tight end room, deep tight end room already.
Okay,
but added George Lammons, I guess.
Hall is also announcing on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I didn't realize. So I guess we got two announcements Tuesday.
Wow.
Okay.
So two receivers, completely different type receivers.
Yeah. And Hall's announced between Auburn and Penn State, and the other kid's announcing between Auburn and Alabama, I believe.
Yeah, and Penn State had been, considered the strong leader for Deshaun Hall for a long time.
Yes, but I think Auburn has jumped in there and made such a big impression now that I feel like Auburn's in pretty good shape.
Brian, I mean, I get asked this question all the time. I'll go ahead and pass it along to you. Why do you think Auburn has been able – to come on so strong here in recruiting? I mean, people wondered, does Auburn just have more money than they used to have?
Or no, I think they're still middle of the SEC in that, right? I don't think they've suddenly discovered.
I mean, money is definitely a factor.
Sure, it is. Well, it is the number one factor for sure. I think
you've got to be competitive.
Right.
But I mean, the ability that Auburn's had of getting in with some of these young men, getting them on campus, and then it seems like they're wowed when they come to campus.
Yeah, I think there's I think Auburn's doing a really good job of making good evaluations and putting the right cost on those evaluations. I think they're doing a good job and not trying to take every top guy, but winning a lot of really big recruitments with some top kids, and also building the class up with other guys I think can develop into top guys. And when I look at this class, I look at Alex Golish. He is a grinder. He's a coach's coach. You feel like he's a guy that just really works his tail off. And I think he's surrounded himself by the same type of people. Cody Burns, same type of dude. All these guys he's got on the staff. DJ Durkin, absolutely the same type of guy. So I think they've got a staff of really hard workers. I think they've had some really important personnel people to sort of guide them, to put the parameters on it so they understand how much they should be paying for a certain position or a certain player and how much they're worth, and why do we want to go get a 5-star now at the position, or why we should go ahead and get a 3-star there and maybe look to the portal here. A lot of different things you can do, and they all cost a certain amount of money, and there's opportunity cost too once you make that decision. So I just think they're more organized and have a better idea of what they're doing, and they work their tail off. And then the number one thing besides money, I think, with Auburn is getting kids on campus. Auburn sells itself. It sold itself to me in the spring of 1985 when I first stepped on this campus. I knew right then and there that I was coming to Auburn and that was going to be my place. And it's been my home for a long time since, right? So that's still very, very important, and I think they've done a great job of doing that too.
Yeah, that's no doubt when you look at it, 22, probably really 21. I mean, you figure Kingston Miles is going to go ahead and flip to Missouri, but Auburn with the possibility of adding a couple of more guys here just in the next 24 hours.
Yes.
So very, very impressive. And, you know, when we talked about it a little bit in the first hour, but you really, I think, need to be judicious when you're recruiting those five stars.
Right.
Because it needs to be somebody you had better know that they are going to contribute. They're gonna be somebody that helps you win immediately.
Right.
Because if they don't, and they can't, you've spent money on a player that probably is gonna be looking to get more playing time, you know, as soon as he can.
Well, Deuce Knight was one of the highest paid players on the team last year.
And right.
What did that accomplish for Auburn?
Nothing. No.
At all. Zero. Didn't play, right? Or did he play in maybe?
Yeah, he played. He played one game.
I don't remember what game that was, but. Yeah, did not contribute to, you know, having a winning season, did not stay around. So every penny you spent on him, all the time you spent developing him and teaching him the college game, you could have spent
that money on somebody else that might have been able to help you multiple games.
And now he's at one of your rivals and is going to be, you know, their quarterback for the future potentially. So you've got to be smarter about it than that, right? If you're going to sign a five-star quarterback, that quarterback – A, better have a path to play right away, or B, be a guy, hey,
that you I know is going to stick around for a while.
The situation, right. Mm-hmm. And I give you my word. My parents are behind me. I know I need to learn more and develop over a couple of years. So that's one thing. The other thing I want to point out is I want to give this staff credit for. I felt like, and I don't mean this is a shot at previous coaches, but I felt like during previous recruiting cycles that Auburn was often the victim of things. Right, other schools would play them.
Right. Oh, yes.
You would know something was coming, and Auburn would just be like, "Oh, you know,
we still feel good."
Yeah, and you know that guy flips whenever he, you know. I just felt like over and over Auburn was getting played by certain coaches or certain schools for years. Not all the time.
No, but you're right.
But here we have a situation where, okay, you've got a kid and. Kingston Miles, who's from St. Louis. You've also got another kid committed from the state of Missouri. Missouri is a team that recruits pretty well in its state.
And they run the ball?
Right. They've had a leading rush in the SEC, I think, two out of the last few years.
And there are questions about how much he's going to be able to play if he plays.
Right. So you can understand that this is coming, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of just waiting for it to happen or instead of pretending like it's not going to happen,
right.
We're going to
go out and find a replacement.
Yeah, we're not going to be passive. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to go ahead and find somebody and get him committed and have him part of this class before this even happens. So I give this staff a lot of credit for doing that because I've seen a lot of staffs here at Auburn that did not come close to doing that.
And part of that may be because Alex Golish had to deal with that type thing in South Florida.
Yeah,
I mean, where you're hoping you got somebody and you're going to hang on to him,
right.
But somebody – you know, an SEC school or somebody else is going to come in there. And when they get that offer, most likely they're going to take it.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes you setting aside your ego a little bit, right?
Right.
And being able to have some common sense or looking at it, you know, from an objective standpoint, which can be hard when you're a coach sometimes, whether you're assistant or head coach or whatever. But I just give them a lot of credit for that. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's a big deal to me. Somebody who's followed recruiting fairly closely for a number of years and seen how it's gone down.
How many times has Auburn then been left in the lurch after something like that happens and they don't have a backup?
Right, right. Are their backup plans?
Offensive line has been where that has happened over and over.
Right, and their backups are just not good enough.
Right.
Yeah.
But there would have been somebody they could have gotten.
Right.
Earlier,
if they'd have been
but they didn't
attention.
Because they were afraid if they took this guy, they might lose the first one. Who are they going to lose anyway?
Yeah, exactly. I just, full credit to them for doing it this way. I just really like it. I'm impressed by it, and I think it's just one of those other little signs that things are changing, mm-hmm. so to speak, for Auburn football program.
Yeah, again, we've got to see it on the field. But, yeah. I mean, I was asked this, and I've said this a couple of times, and people look at me a little like, yeah, are you sure? And it's like, look, no, up to this point, there's nothing that I can see that Alex Golish and the staff have done that I feel like, well, they probably should have done it a different way. No, I mean, I feel like everything up to this point is continuing to indicate that they know where they want to get and how they want to get there, yeah. and there's been no deviation. They're going to do whatever they can to get this thing turned around as quickly as possible.
I agree 100%. I really do. There have been plenty of other turnovers where I'm like, eh, okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, okay, we'll see, to anything they've done so far. I feel good about the decisions they're making and the direction they're going. I feel
every time they do something, they go, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I feel like they've got a really good plan, and they're mm-hmm. really executing it. And, you know, you can't just set a plan and do that, but they, you know, when they have to adjust, they're adjusting, just like they did with, you know, Monty Williams in the running back situation. I just like the way they're operating right now.
334-321-1390. Love to hear from you. Anything that you want to talk about sports-wise. What was the first thing I tossed out a little earlier? I mean, talked about, you know, the current situation in college athletics with the transfer portal and NIL. But, I mean, it was something else that I said if folks had any – oh, I know what it was when we were talking about –
baseball?
No, when we were talking about Jordan Hare.
Oh, yeah.
At events. I mean, yeah. Obviously, if you didn't hear, I mean, I'm sure you've heard by now, but Ella Langley coming to Neville Arena for two dates, August 28th and 29th. That should be – they should sell out pretty quickly, I would think.
I would think so. I mean, it seems like she's really popular right
now.
She
is hot. She yeah. is. As hot an artist as there is in country music. And, yes, that is big. Great to have her. I mean, she's fairly local from the Montgomery area. And
Is that where she's from? I didn't know.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
did she go to high school?
We can look it up.
Yeah.
But I know she's Central Alabama local and went to Auburn. So yeah. That's a big deal. But no, we were talking about after the success of the Argentina-Iceland soccer match that I think Auburn has shown they are prepared to be able to handle – you know, all kinds of things. And just we're wanting to get folks' thoughts on any type of events they'd like to see brought in that could be sort of hosted by Auburn in the athletic department. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break of hour number two coming up in just a little while. We'll get Brian's Monday musings. So stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
War East. Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive, Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. B-Matt, talk a little bit about, I mean, there's even though the competition will be done tonight as far as college for this year, Auburn with recruiting, and mm-hmm. There's been, you know, keeping up with the baseball, the roster, and
baseball
everything. Program. I mean, there's plenty going on there at AuburnSports.com.
Yeah, and Justin Hokeson just had a nice sit-down with Auburn AD, John Cohen, and he's got the first part of that already up. And
good.
We'll have
good.
More
haven't,
from
haven't
that
seen
coming.
That yet.
Yep, so that's up there. Got my Monday musings up there, and we'll continue to keep up with the portal and recruiting. And there's two decisions coming tomorrow, so that's going to slow down a little bit. But I think recruiting news will continue through the end of June into July.
Yeah, look, there are going to be some flips from we talked about Auburn's expecting, you know, Kingston Miles to head to Missouri, mm-hmm. and they just flipped a running back from West Virginia. Yep. There'll be some others. That Auburn's going after or could lose players too. So, I mean, that's going on. But isn't it nice not to have had a spring football portal?
It is, yes. It is really
I mean, it really is.
So much stress when you get involved in
no
that.
No kidding.
Especially for the coaches, you know. It's not as bad mm-hmm. for us. We're not having to go out there and do it. But, yes, I know they're relieved by that. And, you know, over the next 5 or 6 weeks, of course, you got SEC Media Days, I guess, mid-July-ish coming up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll start doing position previews. We'll do my little sneak peeks I do at each opponent coming up. I'm going to start those real soon, too. So we got a lot of stuff for June and July building up to SEC Media Days and then the start of fall camp right around August 1st. Don't have the official date yet.
Any I was thinking, I mean, we mentioned this the other day, and it's definitely always the fact that this time of year, generally news is not good news.
That's right.
About current players.
Yeah.
And any word, any update on the Deshaun Womack?
I have not heard one word about that. So, you know, as far as I know, that's an internal matter type thing.
Okay.
But we'll see. If anything else pops up, we will certainly cover it. But that's the only thing I've heard so far.
Yeah, that's been really the only type off-field type news. Oh, we haven't even mentioned basketball getting ready to – they'll head to Greece, you know, before classes get started at some point. I think that's in July too, isn't it?
Sounds right, yeah.
Auburn still hasn't officially announced – Mantas as a signee.
Yep, still waiting on that. I do not.
Is that odd?
It is a little bit, I guess, but I don't have all the information there, so I think I'm waiting like a lot of people for that process to come to conclusion.
Part of it may be we're just mentioning hour number one that tomorrow's the day that the 5 for 5 and that 5 for 5 had that, you know, I mean there was talk about. You know, the NCAA, and everybody seems concerned about international players.
Right.
But I think, at least everything I've heard, Brian, is that Auburn feels good about that anyone who was already, you know, going to be a part of the team this year was going to be grandfathered in.
Yes, but I cannot say that for
sure. Well, and that may be, but that may be why no official.
And I've heard nothing negative.
No, I haven't either.
I'm just, you know, it is a little odd, I guess, that it's taking this on. But, you know, doesn't mean it's necessarily bad for Auburn. But, you know, we'll see.
But the, I guess the rest of the guys have been here and starting working out.
Yep. They put out some videos over there, you know, doing their strength and conditioning, getting to play, getting to do, you know, some practices now. It's changed a lot what you can do with a basketball team this summer. And it's better, too. They need to train, you know.
Because well, as much as every team is having to go through restocking their roster every year.
Exactly. That's another good reason. I hadn't thought about that. But, yeah, they need it more than any teams, right? It's not like you're getting guys for 3 or 4 years that stay around and know the system.
No, basketball, look, there's much more movement in basketball than there is in football, and it seems crazy when you look at all the numbers. But, I mean, football has a, you know, 100-man roster, whereas basketball's 15.
I mean, Auburn basketball got an amazing 3 scholarship players back, I think, from last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's incredible, right?
I mean, beat the heck out of one.
So, yeah, that is going to be important for them, and it's good that they can do that now during the summer and have coaches out there to coach them and get them familiar with the way Stephen Pearl wants to play, which is I think he wants a more physical, more defensive-minded team for sure, and I'm sure that's something they're going to
be bigger.
On.
Yeah. They're going to be bigger. They're going to be more experienced, and they have more proven shooters.
Yes, they do. That's a great recipe as far as I'm concerned for the way he coaches. I think he did a great job. It reminds me a little bit about what football's doing as far as knowing who they are and then going out and having a plan to fill out the roster.
Yeah, they were able to get those guys pretty quickly. I mean, they obviously had done a whole lot of – there was a whole lot of groundwork and knowing the type players they wanted and go ahead and grab them, get them in as quickly as you can to try to have your team put together.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. This is going to be an opportunity like I've never seen before. I don't recall having this many – tall guys who could shoot.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? I mean, even that great team in 2019, you know, the best two shooters were Bryce Brown.
Jared
Jared
was Bryce was 6'3", maybe.
And
Jared was
5'10", maybe. Yeah. I don't know what it's like. But, yeah, so it's a little bit different. And I'm excited to see what it looks like, you know, once we get into – you know, November and December and all those days.
And that sort of is one of the things that I was talking about last week and had a couple of people on is just I think this wasn't the greatest year in Auburn athletics history or anything, but I think there's reason to be optimistic about quite a few sports as you head into the 26-27 season.
Yes. You feel like football is on the right path, right? Maybe not ready to compete this year, but maybe at the very least.
But I like the direction that it appears to be heading.
And maybe they can win some games they're not supposed to win. Maybe they can take a real step forward on the field. Not saying they will, but I think that's more of a possibility now. Maybe it was before with the way this program is run, right? I think there's going to be less things just happening that you're not expecting.
Right.
Bad. Your basketball, I think year two under Pearl is going to be better. I think they will be a better team. And I think the way they finished winning the NIT was really important for him, his staff, and the returning players.
Mm-hmm.
And then baseball.
Baseball's going to be top five. Yes. I mean, I'll be stunned if they're not a top five preseason team.
I would be too. I think Butch Thompson has that program operating real well. I know people are disappointed because they lost two straight Super Regionals, but they haven't hosted. Was that the second Super Regional they've ever hosted?
Yes.
All time? Yeah.
Yes.
So,
And look, Auburn was the only team in the country that hosted Super Regionals the last 2 years.
Right.
Yes, they didn't win them, but they're still getting there and doing that with players, with so many players that are going to be back.
Yes. And I'm excited to see. You know, you go back to the class 2 years ago that had the three freshman All-Americans, and when we had a couple of guys come out of that class this past year, McCrane, the shortstop, Brandon McCrane, right? So I'm excited
and you've got two of those guys that are definitely going to be back for this year.
And I'm excited to see who may develop out of last year's class that we weren't thinking of. And then this upcoming class is going to have two, three or more players that step up like L.J. Cormier did or Mason McCrane did or
Ethan Bingaman
did. And, I mean, you know, you look at Ethan Bingaman, and I'm not saying he's going to be, but he could be the best player in the SEC next year. That's his ceiling.
Yes.
Right? He could be that guy.
And, you know, he was playing first base, a position that he hadn't played before.
Probably going to play second or third would be my guess, but we'll see.
Yeah, I would think.
How that goes. And
remember, he started the year in the outfield.
Yep.
Just to get him in the lineup.
Play there, too. Eddie Madrigal, I don't think we've come close to seeing the best out of him. So if he has a good summer, comes back, feeling closer to 100%, could play first, could DH, could be another big bat in the middle lineup that, you know, maybe you weren't expecting. So I think a lot of things can go well for this team. And then having guys like Jackson Sanders back, L.J. Cormier back, Andres Alvarez back. Who's the other pitcher? I'm not thinking.
Yeah, you got four.
Jake Marciano back. Yeah, having those four back.
At least those four.
Griffin Graves is going to come back.
Yep.
We've been told. So that's a big deal. And some of these guys that came in last year, you know, Garrett Brewer, maybe a year working under Teef, he can find a little bit more consistency and be a really, really good pitcher. Ryan Hetzler, I thought he was pretty good a year ago, but he was better this year, and that's what a year under Coach Teef can do for you.
And he's a guy that surprisingly wasn't invited to the MLB showcase, so I wonder.
Still think he's going to the draft, though.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll see. We got to keep an eye on that. They, you know, nothing's set in stone yet, but last I checked, and I had a little baseball insider, I guess, in the last week where I updated it, but at this time, it looks like his plan is to go in the draft and you know, get moving on his pro career.
And that's why you bring in three bullpen pieces.
Yes.
As Auburn has through the portal.
Exactly.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, we'll get Brian's Monday musings.
All right.
So stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 24 minutes away from 6 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon, the day after the longest day of the year. Yesterday was the longest day. That's right. And it's been a hot one today, and going to be plenty more of those. It's time now for what one of our more fun segments. Look forward to it every week. Brian writes it there at auburnsports.com. I tried today. I was doing stuff outside, so I haven't had a chance really to catch up with a lot of things online. So I definitely haven't had a chance to look here. But Brian has his Monday musings, where he goes over some athletics, has thoughts on Auburn athletics, and then has some musical thoughts that usually tie into something that happened on this date or very close to this date in music history.
Yep, and today I talked about what we talked about today. I talked about recruiting, being on a real run, a heater, as I called it, and then I talked about SEC baseball in Oklahoma making and also a great run.
What do you
run.
Think? Why not?
I'm not betting against Oklahoma. The way
No kidding. I was actually surprised that North Carolina won yesterday.
And I think North Carolina's a great team, and they're playing really well too. But, man, Oklahoma, the way they're swinging the bats.
So. They really are. I mean, they were a team very similar to Auburn. You know, people were wondering, where's the power? And, man, it's really come on.
Really
and
has.
As a matter of fact, I heard Butch compare, I mean, you know, say that Oklahoma and Auburn were very similar teams a while back. You know, where they were getting ready to play. And and you look, and yes, I mean, they've gotten some really good pitching lately. And a lot of young guys have stepped up for them.
When they played at Auburn, Auburn took two or three of that series, I believe. Mm-hmm. I thought they're the best defensive team that had played there, them in Texas. And, you know, they've taken that one part of their game and just expanded on it, pitched really well, and their hitting has just come on so strong. But musical-wise, we're going back 28 years, 1998.
98.
Okay. So to the release of a soundtrack that gave a 70s and 80s rock band their first and only number one single on the Billboard 100.
Oh, I know who it is because I was very, very, very disappointed. We had tickets to see them just before Steven Tyler's voice
went out. Yep. So I didn't even finish the first sentence before you got out.
Well, no. I mean, because I was surprised this was their only number one. But all the hits.
It
that
is surprising.
Aerosmith has had
a ton, yes, a ton in the 70s, and then a ton after they came
after Run after DMC. Run,
yeah,
after, did you know collaborated with them on Walk This Way?
Yep. So, and then a movie that starred the frontman's daughter, which of course is Liv Tyler.
That's the movie's Armageddon.
Yes, correct. One of my favorite movies. That's not a great movie, but it's a great movie. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Like
that's a fun movie. I
mean,
it is one of those summer blockbusters, you know?
Yes.
Because it had a bunch of people. Bruce Willis.
Loaded with stars.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton in it. Ben Affleck was in it. He was.
Yeah, that's right. Ben Affleck was the guy that was going to. He was the guy that was going to stay there and sacrifice himself.
Yes.
And Bruce did, right?
Owen Wilson, Steve Buscemi.
Oh, yeah.
In it and more. So, a terrific movie. And then the soundtrack was really good, too. It sold well. It had Sweet Emotion on it, in addition to I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, which was the kind of the theme
song. It's hard to believe. That just doesn't feel like they're
that's their only number one. Yep. It had ZZ Top's LaGrange on it. It had an Aerosmith cover of Come Together, which provided a video of that. That's pretty good.
It is.
Really good. And then a Journey song, Remember Me, which is not really that great of a song, but it's the first song that they released
without Steve Perry.
Correct. Yes. And just some interesting facts. The lady who wrote I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, named Diane Warren, also wrote If I Could Turn Back Time by Cher and Away by Chicago. So she's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. She said she was watching a interview with James Brolin and Barbara Streisand, and Brolin said something to the effect that I miss Barbara when she's sleeping. And that's what gave him her the idea of writing that song.
Huh.
That's where it came from. So you never
know.
Based on
on James Brolin and Barbra Streisand.
Yep.
That's wild.
Yeah. And then the film, both J.J. Abrams and Jerry and Tony Gilroy were involved in writing. They're part of the writers' room. There's about seven or eight writers. Jerry Bruckheimer was the producer. Michael Bay was the director. Originally, they looked at Sean Connery as being the lead, but they wanted a little bit younger person. So at the time, they went with Bruce Willis.
Okay.
Bradley Cooper tried out for the role of AJ, which went to,
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck. Thank you. And then let's see what else was interesting about that. That was about it from the movie. Like I said, it's a fun movie. We Win Gracie is a great little line there. If you know where that comes from.
Yeah, you blow up an asteroid to keep it from hitting the Earth.
Harry Stamper is an American hero, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, of course, the music plays with the wedding and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. And then I went a little bit into Steven Tyler and Liv Tyler. Steven, of course, born in New York. Father was a pianist and high school music teacher, so he part of the family, sort of. He was actually born Steven Victor Tallarico. Changes
Tyler name to, works a whole lot better.
Yeah, changes to a stage name there. 1970s, went to a, well, before the 70s, went to a Rolling Stone concert, and that kind of was the impetus for him to become a rock and roll star.
Oh, I could see, I could see him definitely being influenced by Mick. I mean, there are a lot of similarities in their movements and their mannerisms and sort of the way they look. I mean,
and you mentioned all the great hits, Dream On, Sweet Emotion, Walk This Way, Back in the Saddle, all in the 70s, just to name a few. And then the Run DMC, 86. That was one of the biggest things that MTV had.
I mean, they were a pretty much just an oldies forgotten group. Yes. And then they came back and had some of their their bigger hits.
Yep. And I included that video because that video was played on MTV.
Oh,
It's got to be top 10 all time, I would think. It was pretty. It was really good. Just the whole idea for it, everything. And that kind of led another great
They had a
time.
Huge resurgence. Resurgence after that.
Dude Looks Like a Lady, Angel, Ragdoll, Love in an Elevator, Janie's Got a Gun, Living on the Edge, Crying, and Amazing. One of the most interesting things I thought from that period was Liv Tyler and Alicia Silverstone were both in the Crazy music video. I think they're both teenagers in that. So if you put that in there. So if you go back and watch that, you'll see both of them in that, which is interesting. And her, Liv Tyler's original name was Liv Rundgren. Her mother was in a relationship with him. And I think that's her adopted father. She didn't find out that Stephen was her actual father until...
I'd heard that she didn't know and that's where...
She's about 10 or 11 years old when she found out. And now she has a great relationship with both of them.
Oh, yeah.
So they're an important part of her life. So... that was really good,
and she's of course prolific musical.
Yes, and she's had a great career as a actress. Of course, she was in Lord of the Rings trilogy. I think most people remember for that, but in a bunch of other movies, was also involved in the HBO series The Leftovers from about 10 or so years ago.
Yeah, that's cool. Always fun, Brian. I mean, that's cool. So that's all based on the release of the soundtrack to Armageddon.
Yep. 28 years ago today, or tomorrow, I think. I don't think I could find something on today that I liked.
Yeah. Well, so, always, Brian is, I mean, he's looking at all different kinds. We see so many different, you've gone just about every different genre. And,
I've done ghost stories.
And time, I mean, you've gone back centuries.
I have,
It's not just
decade. That was one of my favorite ones. I need to do that again as soon as possible.
All right, 334-321-1390. Let's get to the Drive Hotline. Spectre is up first. Hey, Spectre.
Well, since we're in the music business, I got one for you guys.
All right.
All right. I won't go all over the map. I'll just stay current. Well, not current, but somewhat current. Jefferson Airplane. The song titled Somebody to Love. What was the original title?
Ooh, I do not know
That's a good one.
That
no
one
idea.
I don't know.
It's a great song. I love.
I don't know that I've ever heard that there was a different name for that. Does it have anything? Is it in the song?
Well, it has no.
Okay.
Grace Slick was just part of the group of Jefferson Airplane.
Oh yeah, she was the lead singer.
Yeah, she used to sing with a group called Great Society.
Okay.
And. Of course, they broke up, I don't know when, sometime in the 60s.
60s, obviously.
But she went on to perform with Jefferson Airplane, so I think she took the rights to the song with her. And they renamed it when Jefferson Airplane redone it.
So what was the original name?
Someone to love.
Okay.
well, it works a whole lot better, too. Yeah. Just don't you want someone to... That doesn't sound good as somebody. Right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Funny. That little change was enough, huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Somebody to Love was done in 67.
Mm-hmm. That's a great song.
And that first band that she was with did Someone to Love in 66. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Oh, that's cool. Day. Yeah, you definitely got me on that one. I did not know that story.
Yeah. Anyway, I love Eric Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah, it's great. Great group. Love their music still. Yep.
That's all I got.
Yep. Little White Rabbit Volunteers. 334-321-1390. This guy knows a little bit about music as well. Philly Fanatic.
Hey, love that group. Super group.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to tell you that storms are on their way. And Huntsville just had some tornadoes.
Wow.
Mm.
I thought we were going to get a couple of days. I was looking at it over the weekend. I was thinking, oh, we're going to get a couple of nice days.
Yeah, well, I know I should have moved.
I walked
today.
Out to play golf at 1 o'clock, and it was already 90. So I went back in. There's no way.
Yeah, well, you're right. It was hot. That's how I was finishing putting a lawnmower together at 1 o'clock.
Well, I got a lawnmower story. My front wheels went out, too. And so I took them over to Price in Opelika.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And within 5 hours, they had it. They just put a belt on it, and they sharpened the blade for $25.
Wow.
And I looked at them. I said, it's normally, I couldn't believe it, it's normally like a week and a $200 bill. I said, man, mm-hmm. You guys are unbelievable.
Well, I may take mine over there and just say, you know, I sort of know what it is. I could do it, but I'm getting to the age where I don't know if I want to go through all that again. I've got a less expensive, lighter one right now that's self-propelled. So
I've seen your robot in action.
Hey, it man, it's well. It is cool. It does a good job, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, my wife said she wondered if all your purple irises were gone.
No, they're not. I have some, and I also have some white lilies. And what I'm trying to do is figure out a way to put them someplace that people get them without taking them all, because my wife doesn't want me to have people come to our house because they end up taking all the others.
Well, you could leave some at my house.
Yeah. Okay. What I'll do is I'll dig some up and then bring them over there. Is she interested in the white canna lilies?
Yeah, probably. I'm sure. I mean, we're just trying to, you know, we've got a few more spaces where we're getting sun now, so we can have
that's
those.
A whole other problem. I wanted to bring up a muse. I read this thing about Albert Spalding, and basically, he revolutionized everything. Basketball, baseball, he made him into professional sports. He was incredible. He played every position. He was a Hall of Fame pitcher. I mean, his business with Wilson, I mean, I can remember back in the 50s, there was the sporting goods store was a corner store. It wasn't like Academy Sports.
Oh, no, you're right.
Unbelievable. So, we would go there, and before that, there was really no way. I guess you have to get them from Sears Roebuck.
Right. You had to order them mail order catalogs.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So the first glove I got was a pancake, because back then, that's all you had. And I kept that thing, and my son, who's about the same age as your son, when he saw that pancake glove, he said, How did you ever catch anything
with it? Yeah.
Yeah.
They were smaller, too. Yeah.
But before that, they were using their hands. Mm-hmm. It's like a little bit better than that. He also designed the basketball part of the NBA. I mean, the guy was incredible. It's just like,
I didn't realize. I mean, baseball is what I think of, you know, and sporting goods is what I think of with Spalding.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, it goes on and on. He's the who and who. And not only was a superstar player, but then he owned the Chicago White Stockings. And then went on to be an executive. He brought these sports in to become professional. Before that was kind of like a lot of Sandlot stuff. Incredible guy. You can go on in with ChatGPT or any one of these, and you can find everything you want to know about this guy. He was like, I just couldn't believe that one person had done all that. But wow. I remember my father was about, I think it was like 1960. I wanted to get a basketball hoop. And mm-hmm. back then, you know, right now you just go to Academy Sports and have one delivered, right?
Yeah.
Well, back then, my father, he went and he got a post, he painted it, made a blackboard, a bankboard, and then he did go to Spalding's Sporting Goods to get the rim and net, and then he also put up lights. And we had a subdivision of about 100 people. 100 houses, and we were the only ones that had this court. Now, some people saw ours, and so they went ahead and nailed some to the top of the garage.
Yeah, that's where a lot of people used to have them. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, you couldn't do any driving on that unless you pulled up the door, otherwise you're going to smash into it.
Hey, but I tell you what, in a lot of the smaller schools, the little high school that I attended, you used to have basketball courts were in the gym, but the gym was also... like where you had Pep
rallies?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you'd have meetings and things in there all the time. One goal would be on the back wall, and the other one would be above the stage of the gym. So
Yeah,
you had to be careful.
You have plays in there.
You didn't run fast
too, right?
breaks going south or going to what end?
Well, now at least when I played basketball, they were all in a pulley system where you're down, and then when they have something else going on, they just pull them back.
We didn't have anything that fancy.
No, definitely.
No, neither did I. But that's what it's obviously what's going on now. So you can have like four baskets that people are shooting at.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, that's if you ever have any minute, you should go and look at this guy.
I'm reading some of the stuff right now. Albert Goodwill Spalding. Yeah, reading about him. Great stuff, Joe.
It was the turn of the century. Okay, good to see you, and batten down the hatches.
Yeah, thanks. Golly, I hope not.
Bye-bye.
God, I just got everything all cleaned up in the yard. I hope not. All right, we need to get to our final break. Yeah, we're running tight right now, so we'll be back to wrap it up here on the Monday Drive.
Don't buy the lie. This is Lee County District.
Music means we're out of time, but before we go, Brian, Auburn has added a football commitment.
Here we go again. We talked about it, but Nasir Banks is a three-star athlete, most likely a defensive back, safety corner type guy, nickel. He's from McEachern High School, same place as cornerback commit Nash Johnson. That's number 23, I believe.
Wow. They keep working it, man.
Yeah, one or two more possibly tomorrow. So here we go again. Just a great job by House Coalition staff to continue to bring talent to this program.
Brian, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that you're doing.
Yeah, just check us out, auburnsports.com. We'll continue to have tons of recruiting information, baseball portal information, everything else going on. Talked to the AD here today, Justin Hokeson did, so we'll have plenty of that too. Plus, SC Media Day is about 4 or 5 weeks away. So all that and more, auburnsports.com. Follow me on Twitter, says X, at BMATAU.
And Brian, since we have no show next week, it's going to be back Friday. That's going to do it for today. Have a good one, everybody. We're out of here.